Hey Zen friends, welcome to Crazy Zen Life. I'm your host, Brittany Swan.
And I'm your host, Shannon Kessler. Join us as we navigate life on and off our yoga mats.
This is a podcast about mom life, boss life, and body life.
Real conversations about self-discovery and the journey of becoming more mindful in this crazy Zen life.
Third installment of the how-to series, and we're out of school today for
Martin Luther King Jr. Day. Whoop. Yes.
But we had to get a recording in because it's very rare to have Miss Talita back in the studio.
Yes.
Like, in the studio.
Yeah, like, physically,
yes,
physically
in the closet.
In here. And I was super excited about this, and because she's coming off the blood wolf moon or the wolf blood moon.
Oh. Blood, so wolf.
Blood wolf.
Yes.
So okay. She encountered all the craziness our kids went through yesterday.
Yes.
And if any moms are listening, they're like, oh my God, that was something.
Yes.
Like Sunday night was real. Goodness.
It was real. I kept apologizing to Talita like all day yesterday. I'm like, my kids usually, I mean, they get crazy, but they're not crazy for this duration of the day. Mm. I don't know what's going on. And then last night I kept seeing all these pictures of like this beautiful moon. I'm like, I understand. No.
But the moon pictures totally make it worse.
Oh my gosh,
the crazy kid,
yes,
behavior.
It does. I will take that. I love seeing elements like that in nature. That are, I mean, it is rare to get to see that, but then when you understand like how nature and humanity work together. And when people try to fight that, I'm like, come on, people. Don't you dogs and your kids go crazy with this?
It's such like a questionable, powerful force. Like, I think it is so, I mean, there are things that are literally tied to it, like energy-wise.
Like the tide
so
of the ocean.
Interesting that, I mean, we, of course, are still tied to it as well. And it just brings it full circle for me. What else is a full circle is it's a new year still.
Are you angry?
I'm not saying it. I'm just saying it's still new-ish.
Yes. We're still in the newer part.
You're still breaking in those new tennis shoes from Christmas. So just in case you haven't started your goal, or if you started it and you kind of lost a little steam, you need to reboot, refresh, or even just start in general, we have Talita in here. She's going to talk about recharging. This is no better person to recharge your batteries.
Relaunch your 2019 on the 21st day in.
Yes.
Ooh, that's
never
poignant.
Too late.
That's
never
poignant
too late.
Because it doesn't take 21 days to have a habit.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Yes. So if your first habit of the new year was to procrastinate starting a goal.
Congratulations!
You nailed it! Look, anything's possible. You've already proved it. You can do it. Now we're going to spend the next 21 days creating a new habit.
Exactly. Oh, I love that.
So there's, and my thoughts too, there's a procrastinator and then there's an excuser. Can you kind of diagnose both of those, and how maybe moving forward can you attack both of those, and how we can move forward and put our best foot forward in our goals?
Ooh, that's interesting, because yes, they are different, yet I feel are rooted in very similar places of perhaps fear. I feel because it's like, so the procrastinator is putting off the inevitable, and they know they want to, or they're probably telling themselves they should. And I often, there's a saying, don't shit all over yourself.
Right.
Because why should you? Like, you really, what you should, quote unquote, be doing is what is important to you. If all of your friends are doing this one thing, or like everyone is on the road to losing 10 pounds or something, you feel like you should. Well, if you don't want to lose 10 pounds, you don't need to be doing the thing, you know. Or they know they really want to. It's been a goal of theirs for the longest, and they're putting it off because they know it's going to be hard work. But there's still a connection to it. Is more of the procrastinator. The person who's making excuses.
We've all made it.
Yeah.
Oh, it's...
It's still rooted in fear. And I feel more, maybe, is more of a self-value thing. Or self-worth thing.
Or maybe it's the fear of failure. Like, if I start this and I fail, well, here I am. Like,
right.
You know, I can't do this.
Right. And not understanding that it's okay to fail, and you need failures in order to achieve, in order to have success.
Yes.
If you're always doing, oh, yep, got that right, did that well, I don't necessarily call that a success or an achievement. It just is. That's probably part of you that's always been. But when you fall down or, you know, go backwards and then get up again and go further, then you achieve something. Mm-hmm. And
courage
to understand.
Yeah,
yeah, definitely. That's definitely
courage.
That's okay. Has helped me in the past stop with the excuses. Actually, it's helped tremendously once I got over, nope, that's okay, because I learned from that thing. Mm-hmm. So there's no need to have excuses anymore to not tackle something.
Yeah.
That's, as far as in my world, that's how it has been.
So you're saying,
that's a great diagnosis.
The confidence of overcoming those excuses or overcoming the failures brings you to not have as many excuses moving forward. Mm-hmm. Is that what you're saying? Mm-hmm.
Definitely.
Okay, excuse people out there. Yeah. And we all make excuses, believe me.
Yes.
Nothing has to be perfect. There's never a perfect time to start something. Do you hear that a lot?
Also true.
Yes.
Also true.
A new life does not start on Monday.
Like, well, I was just going to say, most of my, like, the challenge that I did in December purposely started on a Tuesday because I don't like that, oh, I'll start on Monday. I'll start on the 1st. So I purposely started that challenge on a Tuesday. And I think it might be, we'll see, my a signature to start Toledo everything Tuesday. On Toledified Tuesdays.
Yes.
But I have a theory about Tuesdays, and just because I feel like I crush a Monday, I'm ready for a Monday. Okay. Tuesday's where I fail. But I do like the fact, I think I'm outside the norm. I think because Chan and I have a schedule on Mondays, like, and then we just blow it out on sometimes on Mondays. Yeah. So can you speak to that? Like, so say you did so well on Monday, and you're like, I can do this, and then Tuesday you crash. Can you still make that up? Can you still overcome that? Like, even on Wednesday, do you pick it up back up on Wednesday?
Well, it depends on what you mean by crash and versus crush. So if your crush means you got a lot done in one day, so productivity is what you mean by crush, or someone else's crush might mean they dove into one thing and you know, got all parts of it, done the way they wanted to, or whatever. It's not, that wasn't about quality of something, or I'm sorry, that wasn't about quantity of something or getting a whole lot done. Mm-hmm. So it depends on what is your definition of crushing to then what made Tuesday crash because you didn't get as many things done as Monday, or you didn't feel as energetic as you did on Monday. Like, what?
I feel like I encounter so many flying monkeys on a Tuesday that I'm like, get out of here. I'm constantly sweating things. I'm like, what is happening on a Tuesday?
Yeah,
like,
in jars.
Yeah, like, I'm like, just
nice.
Stop that. Yeah. Nice. So I'm literally just trying to survive a Tuesday. Gotcha. I don't know why.
Well, then I think, and this is all in life stuff, not like one particular. Well, then I think maybe in order to gain that back.
Yes.
Is to perhaps treat it like, as far as I do when I program for clients, let's say, whether it's their training program or nutrition program, there is built in ups and down. It's an undulating scale or an undulating progression. There's meant to be really intense days, and there are meant to be really low intensity days in order for the body to adapt to what the program's trying to do for your goal. So I think that could apply to all of life.
So we need a low Tuesday.
Yeah.
To get our things done. Toledo literally just blew my mind.
Me too.
Instead of batting those monkeys away, I'm like, all right, buddy, have
a seat. Give ourselves permission.
Have a seat.
Let's give ourselves permission to reboot a little bit on Tuesday.
Right, to come down and not feel like we have to come out swinging.
Yeah, Wednesdays I feel like I'm right back on it.
Yeah.
Girl.
That makes sense. So physically, as it relates to exercise and stuff, your muscles and your body adapts and grows and makes gains, not weight gain, but yes. The gains of progress of what you're trying to do during the recovery time. That does not happen when you are working out. You're getting the stimulus to your muscles during the workout. You're breaking down, actually, the muscles when you work out, but it's in the rest time, it's in the recovery time that you're actually making gains, so which is why recovery is so important. So I would absolutely...
Embrace
that to life.
Okay,
as well.
Wow. If you haven't noticed, Talita is super well-versed in health, nutrition, and, like, language and words. She has all of the words. And we recently went through a goal-setting class, like, a little workshop with her on a Saturday, and I was blown away by she's just really into searching out values and what are key mm-hmm. for you. Mm-hmm. And can you tell our listeners a little bit about that and how that helps moving forward with the rest of their, maybe, their year, or their goal-setting year?
Yes. So I think no matter what a person's goal is in anything, whether it's a physical goal, some kind of training goal, a health goal, a career goal, doesn't matter. In order to really, really achieve that goal with flow, you should be led by or rooted in your values, your core, most meaningful, deep values in your life. Because my whole, in that process, I also go into what are your personal strengths as well, so that in life, we want to use our strengths to get what we want while being led by our values. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And I think that's a powerful life. Yes. If you can,
can you say that one more time?
Yes. We want to use our strengths to get what we want while being led by our values. And I think that makes your daily decision making much easier. It doesn't mean it makes it easy, but it makes it easier to make those daily decisions of should I do this or should I do this? Is it more important for me to do this or this? Whatever mm-hmm. decisions you're making, because you know what's important to you. To give you a little example, back in college, so I'm a competitive track and field athlete, and my friends be like, oh, Talita, to go to this party with us, or you never go out with us anymore. Well, it's not because I didn't want to, but I knew what was really important to me. I knew what my goals were, mm-hmm. and one of my values is excellence. And I strive for excellence in everything I do. Mm-hmm. But this specifically being in sports, if I went out with them, we wouldn't get back till, who knows, 1 in the morning, 2 in the morning. I have track practice at 5:45 in the morning. Sorry, that's not going to work for me. Do I know other athletes who still do that, go out and then go to their practice mm-hmm. or their training? Yeah, but that's not going to work for me. I know I'm not going to be training to my optimal level. Coach is not going to get the most out of me. Then coach will be frustrated with me. Then I have to deal with that. That is just not the things I want to deal with. I need, you know. So that is what makes that decision easier. Again, not because I don't love my friends and don't want to be with my friends, but I knew it was important to me in that moment. And I know I can do other things with my friends. Mm-hmm. Me having an Olympic goal, the Olympics are going to happen the day that it's scheduled to happen, whether I'm there or not. Mm-hmm. So I don't get to say, oh, I can always go to track practice. Or I can always go to another competition. No, mm-mm. It just doesn't. So that's just an example of how using your values ground you and root you in being confident and standing on in your decision. Mm-hmm. And then knowing your strengths, too. So earlier, I mentioned a little bit about self-worth and self-value, that oftentimes people, and in my experience, it's mostly women, but it's both men and women, feel they're not worth this level of thought or introspection or self-reflection, and they just let life happen to them mm-hmm. as opposed to making things happen for their life. But all of us have strengths. All of us are good at something. Mm-hmm. And I think it's important for you to hone in on what that is. If mm-hmm. you have a great voice, you're a beautiful singer, or if you are really good at organization, or mm-hmm. if you're good at, I'm one of my strengths, I'm good at saying no, which I find that multitaskers in this society, we pride ourselves on being able to multitask, and obviously parents have to multitask.
Right.
But some people don't know how to say no, so they get overwhelmed with things, and then they get lost in the shuffle, and their goals just mm-hmm. go by the wayside because you're doing stuff for other people. Mm-hmm. But I'm great at saying no. Or if you're just great at, I don't know, getting your husband to do the dishes, like, that's a skill. So, like, you better own it.
It's right into me. And if you do have that skill set, could you please send us an email on how you get that done?
Exactly. But you can use that. There's something about you as to why that's a strength of yours. So you can use that to your advantage. I don't mean in a manipulative way to try to get over on people, but use it towards your goals? How can you?
Well, there is, and listen, the guy that is the Nathan's hot dog eating contest winner,
yes,
he's good at eating hot dogs.
Yes,
you know, exactly. It's like if he's he can be good at eating hot dogs, and now he's the best in the world at it, you can find what you're good at and be the best at it.
Absolutely.
And use it to your advantage.
And it doesn't have to be, yes, some big, profound thing. Because I often get, I get it, people put athletes on this pedestal, especially the higher, like, professional athletes, the higher rank you are in that world. First of all, we're not perfect, but people I've had not want to work with me or train with me because they have me on this pedestal. Like, oh no, I'm not trying to be in the Olympics. I just want to lose 10 pounds. Your 10 pounds is your Olympics.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So it should be treated as such. It is important. It is no less important than my Olympic goal.
Mm-hmm.
Like, me being in Olympics means nothing in your life. What's meaningful in your life,
right,
that should be given as much attention as I'm giving to my goal. So that comparing, we could go an hour into the comparison game.
Yeah.
But
the comparison game gets you nowhere.
You're right. Mm-hmm. Exactly.
It's like you're treading water. Mm-hmm. Like, right, you're doggy paddling.
Yes.
You're exerting so much energy, but you're getting nowhere.
Right, right.
It really is. Yeah. And I want to go back to something you said earlier. Yes. You said the Olympics are going to happen no matter if you're there or not. Mm-hmm. So in our goal setting class, you talked about having a timestamp.
Oh. Mm-hmm.
So can you talk a little bit about that, about having a timestamp on your goals?
Yes. This is an old concept you might have heard of, having SMART goals. And each of the letters in the word SMART means something like specific, measurable, attainable, realistic, and timely. So the timely part is you want to have a date, time, stamp on it to give you that sense of urgency,
mm-hmm,
that this, I need to make things happen and start putting things into place and take action. If there's no time goal attached to it, you'll find, whether it's consciously or subconsciously, ways to get out of doing what you need to do toward it. And it'll just keep,
mm-hmm,
being pushed back and pushed back and pushed back. Like, oh, I can do that tomorrow. Oh, I can do that next month. Or I'll, you know. But when you see, and it doesn't work for everyone, but typically when you see, especially it written down, and you see a time on it, and you're looking at the calendar, oh, I haven't done, it gives you that sense of, oh, gotta go, gotta do it.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And it keeps you on your toes. And that's, mm-hmm, that's a great feeling. Mm-hmm. To always be in action, I feel like, in your life. And, ooh, that's what that
always
time
be in action.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
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 I can see how that would be.
It doesn't mean you're not, you don't get to relax. I'm not saying you never take vacation and you never, right, not that kind of always be in action, but,
mm-hmm, yeah. But I mean, and even if you've put a timestamp on your goal and your goal doesn't happen within those confines, doesn't, mm-hmm, mean that you're any less of a person,
right,
because it didn't happen,
right,
during that time frame.
Right.
It just gives you a place to start.
A place to start, and it also will give you an opportunity for more self-reflection,
mm-hmm,
and to be a little more, what's the word, like, analyze, mm-hmm, what went on in the last couple months as to why I didn't reach, mm-hmm, this, and then that can, mm-hmm, further inform you, okay, how will my next few month process go, since, mm-hmm, I know, oh, that's what happened, why I didn't make this time. You know, mm-hmm, it's not to sit there and judge yourself. It's just for evaluation purposes.
Aware.
Yeah.
We talk a lot about awareness, mm-hmm, like, mm-hmm, becoming more self-aware, asking, mm-hmm, yourself the questions, and,
yes,
and you're big on questions.
Yes.
So when you have a goal, can you talk about asking the whys?
Yes.
So this was, like, oh, this was that, groundbreaking, yes, for Shannon and I. I remember looking over her, I was like, yes.
Definitely. Well, if you want to use one of you as a example, or as a little workshopping, one of your goals.
Yeah, I don't have any, like, right off the that are coming, like, blah, blah,
blah. I mean, do you want to use one of our yoga goals? Because,
yeah,
that's what we use. Okay.
Yeah, yeah, sure. Yeah. Definitely.
Okay. You want to do me? Yeah. Okay. Ask me.
So one of your goals for 2019, you don't have to necessarily tell me the one that you wrote in your special envelope, but one of your goals.
One of them was to complete at least half of my 300-hour training.
Okay. Why do you want to do that?
To gain more knowledge about yoga practice in general.
Why do you want to gain more knowledge of yoga practice?
Sharing information is really important to me.
Why is sharing information important to you?
I feel a love about yoga, but also feeling accomplished,
mm-hmm,
and feeling that I am knowledgeable in this and I can give value to you, that's something that's important to me.
Why is it important to feel accomplished and to give value?
Self-validation is really important to me. Mm. And so feeling that I'm secure within my own self and validated is big.
Right.
Yeah.
So you want to accomplish your 300-hour, or at least half of your 300-hour yoga teacher training this year to feel self-validated.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. That's the
answer. That's...
And yes, and it isn't to not to say that all the reasons in between were fluff at all, but a lot of people, when asked the first why do you want to do that? They're at least I'll say when I say a lot of people, clients I've had in the past, they're giving either answers they think I want to hear or that sound good, and I could care less about that. In order for me to do the best I can for you, I need to really know the root, to get down to the root of the your desires. And so it sounds good on paper, or looks good on paper. You have your 300-hour yoga teacher training, but what is that doing for you in your life?
Mm-hmm.
And it's giving you validation. That's what you want.
Yeah.
And if you said that to someone else, or even on a flyer or their marketing for it, do 300-hour, yoga teacher training with this certificate or this company, they're not going to write to get self-validation.
Right.
But, they're writing other things that you will get, but it means something deeper to you. And that's what that's, the five whys, that's what that's for. So I always, in it, again, is another way to, another opportunity to go self-reflect and introspection. The five whys are a pretty cool little strategy.
I was blown away when you were going with that in the workshop. At layer after layer. And it was fun watching who gave this answer. It was really just kind of mind-blowing just to watch her take that journey with you in real time of like, oh, wow, I'm saying these outside, out loud for the first time.
Mm-hmm.
And she was starting to really become aware of why.
Right.
And I was like, oh, this is good. I'm like, right. This is really good. Oh.
I mean, it was moving because you have to think about it.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Like, why?
Yes.
I don't know.
And
because if you said, I don't know to one of those, is that okay? You're like, I don't know.
Yes. Yeah. Oh, of course. Yeah, definitely. Okay. And another chance for you to realize actually what I was going to say, you may realize sometimes in doing this kind of work, you might not want what you've been saying you want all this time because you have gone through the layers, you realize your values, your strengths, what is going on in my life, and all of these things are not aligning.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, wait, maybe that isn't what I want. Mm-hmm. Not because you can't do it, not because it's taking you so long to accomplish it, but you are just realizing this is not meaning much to me. It's on my list because I thought it was, thought it was cool, or I thought I was supposed to, or I thought whatever. If one of the answers is I don't know, it gives you the opportunity to think about it.
Is it that important?
Yeah.
I think I might have even said this on the last time you were on the show, but one of my favorite quotes is, sometimes on the way to accomplishing a dream, you get lost and you find a better one.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. And that can happen so many times on your self journey. Your workout journey, your meditation, like whatever, even in work life, I feel like people find a lot of times like, I landed my dream job and this is amazing. And then 6 or 7 months in, they're like, this is not what I put this job on a pedestal for so long.
Yes.
This is totally what I thought my life worth was going to be about. Yep. And then they get in and they're like, this is crushing my soul.
Right.
I do not want to be here anymore.
That's similar to me. I was telling you a little bit, I never got there, but along the way, I realized, one of my goals was always to be the first female strength and conditioning coach for an NFL team. That was one of my goals for the longest, but I didn't make it there. But along the way, I realized, like, in looking up different teams and researching, who do they work with and what did they do and what do I know, my knowledge base, and compared to what, oh no, this team needs this, because all that along the way. And I was a huge football fan. Things that were starting to be revealed or observed in the NFL, I realize now that actually probably would not have been the best place for me. And it's good that
now
I didn't get there.
Yeah.
So maybe those that are out there that are on a journey, like say you've taken on a paleo and it's, mm-hmm. you know, and you're questioning, I mean, maybe it's not working for you. This is just an example. Mm-hmm. You know, there's always a time for self-reflection and being honest with yourself.
Yes.
Is what you're saying.
Yes.
Like, let's be honest. Is it working for you? And be exactly. able to restart, reboot
yeah.
in a different way.
Exactly. Exactly.
Yeah. Doesn't mean that you're a failure.
Definitely.
Means maybe not for you.
Exactly. And maybe another example of mine, even though, again, I'm not there yet, mm-hmm. having made an Olympic team, but I was a gymnast first. Gymnastics was my first love of sports. And I thought I was going to be an Olympic gymnast. Well, as we know, gymnastics, you're like, if you're 14, 15, oh, you need to retire soon. Right. Like, it doesn't have a long right. shelf life.
Yeah.
And I was 15 or 16 when I stopped gymnastics, because the next Olympics I would have been 19. Oh. And gyms at that time were not, like, I was looking for a gym that would train at that level. I had to leave the gym I was at, mm-hmm. and they weren't taking on, like, she's...
You'd be, old. Like, 12 or something.
Yeah. exactly.
Oh, wow.
So my Olympic journey or dream is not looking like I mm-hmm. set my goal to look like. It's taking a different form, but I'm still going to get there. That's what yeah. we're putting that out there. I'm still yes. going to get there, even though it's not in the way I initially thought back in the day.
Right.
Yeah.
Your medal just has a different emblem on it, I guess. Yeah, whatever, or a different
yes. person. Are they different? I don't know. Are there, like, if you get a track, a medal, a gold medal in track, does it look different than the gold medal you get from swimming? Like, is there, yes, like, a picture of your sport on it?
Mm-hmm,
okay.
There's
I've never seen one in real life.
Me neither.
Like, I don't even really know.
Yes. Oh, you know what? The boys, yes, they yep. met an Olympic athlete over the summer, an Olympic swimmer. I forget his name. Sorry.
Oh, yeah.
I forget.
Blake? Is it Blake? Somebody?
No, not even close. But anyway, I think it did have a swimmer on it.
Yeah.
Cool.
They have.
All right.
Yeah. They have certain, however many made for each
yeah.
sport and each event within that sport. And I don't know if they engrave their name or their whatever on it.
During?
Okay. I don't know. I'm not sure.
Yeah. Could you imagine, like, be careful with it? I'm like, I just know it's mine. It's a favorite card.
Yeah. You can keep it in the box.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
All right.
So always doing this work, I've been asked how, like, especially doing values work. Mm-hmm. Once you get your, like, top five values there, that's it. Those are your values. No. Mm-hmm. Come back to this work often.
One
couple of times a year, mm-hmm. you know. Every, you know, 6 months or something, or, you know, start off once a year, whatever, if it's working for you, what you have discovered so mm-hmm. far. There's been a couple of my values that have changed over the years, but again, that's okay because of your focus and where you're at in life changes. You're yeah. growing and developing in always. So mm-hmm. That's okay too. It's not a And that's big for me to say, too, because I used to be, I consider myself a recovering perfectionist. So for those perfectionists out there, to get the right answer and to get the, okay, these are my top five and they can't change because, I found the perfect ones. No, it's, mm-hmm. it's they're going to change. It's okay to change. Yeah. They're supposed to change.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, you're human.
Yeah.
I say all the time, it's not a hat rack. You're supposed to be constantly analyzing. And I know this is like a trigger thing for like overanalyzing in the world. Like mm-hmm. there's a lot of memes like stop overanalyzing. Mm-hmm. But then I kind of take offense to that because I'm like, we're supposed to. That's where we're creative beings.
Mm-hmm.
We're
mm-hmm.
meant to keep on analyzing our behavior around us. And I think too, once you get into your 30s and stuff, and I think that is even more important because you're moving forward with that's the prime of your life. Or one of them.
Yes.
One of the many.
Yes.
Yeah. Definitely. One of the many.
It's the start.
It's the start of one of the primes.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah. If you're not questioning things, that to me, if you're okay with the status quo all the time, you're not going to change. You're not a person clearly who wants to change.
Mm-hmm.
That you're definitely not my tribe at all.
Like, mm-hmm. yeah.
We are constantly evolving.
Mm-hmm.
Shannon's
favorite words. Is mm-hmm. evolving.
Yeah.
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 Mm-hmm.
You're right.
You're not questioning it.
Now, will I evolve to dust my baseboards? No.
No.
That will not happen. Like, there are some things I'm okay with the status quo.
Yes.
I really thought that part of it, like, when you had children, because in my house, I never saw my mom dust a baseboard, but my brother and I, we were down there all the time. I'm like, this is why you had children, right? this is it. This I truly and honestly thought, I'm like, oh, I get real lower to the ground. You know, like, we're close to it. We're down here anyway. That's no problem. I got that.
No. Sometimes I run my toes when I have socks on. I run my toes across the baseboard. Yeah. Like, just run it. I'm like, oh, there we go.
That's good. I know, that's probably, I'm like, that's in your line of fire. I bet in the studio, it's never been touched. And now I'm looking at it now, I'm like, did you say baseboard specifically, Brit?
No, I just looked over there. I was like, oh, okay, yeah. Although I've been looking over there for like the last 7 months.
There it is. There she is.
Okay, since this is a how-to series.
Okay, yes. Yeah. What can you give me, like, your top three ways, if you were going to relaunch your 2019 with some specific goals, what do you think your three most important tips you would give somebody who wants to take another swing at restarting?
Oh, boy.
Swing for the fences.
Yeah. Ooh. Well, I think what we did is always a simple exercise, the circle of wants. For listeners, if you just simple, it could be on a piece of paper. I love big visuals, so it could be big poster board on your wall in the closet, somewhere that you're always going to be able to see it. Draw a big circle, and inside the circle, right, give yourself 5 minutes, because you don't want to overanalyze, because then you'll start to think.
Nitpick.
Nitpick and should eyes all the time. What jumps out at you, what comes to top of mind is why 5 minutes is there. So it's a big circle, right in that circle, everything you want for your life. Everything that comes to mind until the time is up. Look at that and then give yourself one more minute to circle maybe your top 3 to 5. But when you read those out loud, the top 3 to 5, pay attention to what your body's feeling and how the words are coming out of your mouth. Your body doesn't lie. The body does not lie. And you'll be able to tell what is really, truly important to you. And that might be the thing that you want to focus on for 2019. Just put it in. And the wants can be anything from material, like tangible things, to concepts, to ideas as well. So then when you have that, you want to think about how can you embody that? How does that apply in your life to start to formulate your goal and how you want to focus on it this year? Mm-hmm. Might not mean you'll get it maybe by the end of the year, but because you know that truly means something to you, because it keeps standing out in this big circle of 30 other wants, that's where you need to start your first step of action right now. And you can always, it could be July 17th. You can start an action right now, anytime. Mm-hmm. It could be easy, just as a simple example. If you want to read more this year, so your first action step, ask your best friend, what great book did you read recently? Like you're starting the process and you're putting it out in the atmosphere so that the energy comes back to you for you to get what you want. Mm-hmm. So I would say start there. I think that was one out of what, three?
Yes, writing it down and then finding out how you respond to it, body and mind, and then moving forward and taking action. So, I feel like those are three. Okay. Yeah,
yes. Those were three.
Fantastic. I love that. Yeah.
And we did write it down and mail it to ourselves. So that was a good one. Like we wrote down, and then Talita is going to just randomly send out what we wrote down our goals to be. And these were yoga goals. These were not life goals, like you just said, but it was more specific. But it was, she's going to randomly mail it out. And I think that's going to be significant to see where we are.
And I think that's
not saying like you have to have it at
the end. A key point too, like if you don't know yet, maybe you're overwhelmed with how many ways you want to change your life. Mm-hmm. Maybe you just pick one spot. Mm-hmm. Maybe for you, your goal is, I want to start with having more, I don't know. I'm going to use it because we're in the closet. I want to have a clean closet. I feel like for me, when my closet gets all disarray, like my life looks just like a messy closet. Mm-hmm. Like it will, life imitates art in that form. Mm-hmm. So like if your intention is I want to have a more organized life, great. Start in your closet. Mm-hmm. Where can you start there? And then see where that's going to lead you. Maybe it leads you to your bathroom. Maybe it leads you to your kitchen.
Right.
Maybe it leads you to your car.
Right.
Or your office, wherever it is. Start someplace, even if you don't know. Because little changes, it's like a ripple in the ocean. A little pebble will make a ripple miles and miles away.
Definitely, definitely.
It can happen.
And one thing I told you guys the other day in the workshop, you can also do this, especially so that you don't get overwhelmed, like Shannon just said. You can make a circle for every area of your life. So like we did at the workshop, that was yoga goals. You could have a circle of wants for your career. Let's say you're a business owner. A circle of wants for your business. You could have a circle of wants for your family life. A circle of wants for your relationships, whether that be friendships, marriage.
I mean, you know. I'm a Virgo, so I have a circle of life for every. I feel like my vision board is going to look like a twister board after a while. Like so
circle many, of life.
All kinds like, of Venn diagrams. All, like, all crossovers.
Here we go. Over here. Over there. Oh, yeah.
You're like so left hand. That's what it's going to look like.
Definitely.
I love all of those.
Cool. And I do actually want to say this has come up. Like, I have a client in mind who she's tough to get through.
Noises we make on this show. I am so sorry. Sorry, your client. Yes, who's tough?
She's a hard nut to crack. And she's doing a lot of, you know, self-reflective work. But it's so popular. It's a thing to do affirmations. Like, look in the mirror and do affirmations or write down affirmations. And I get how some people might think that's a frou-frou thing. But it might feel frou-frou to you if you haven't written something that means something to you.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Because I think affirmations or declarations, if you could call it many things, are really important. The language we choose to use for ourselves is also important because you will listen to the words that are constantly being repeated in your mind or out loud. So if you're constantly telling yourself, I can't do that, or even a common one, I'm too busy. Your reality is your time being dissected and managed and pulled in all different directions, yes. But to say, continue to say, I'm busy, well, you're continuing to create that.
You're manifesting
as well.
That, yeah. Mm-hmm.
So declarations and affirmations, I think, are really important, too. And really sit and attempt to establish one that means something to you. If you have a business goal, you want to grow your business from a certain place, it could be, you know, I am a six-figure earner, or I'm a confident six-figure business owner. That's a declaration. Hello, Georgie.
Not sure how she
that means
here.
That means there's another.
There's little feet on the way coming soon.
That's funny. You know, I really like that because, you know, you'll see a lot of memes or quotes, and, you know, as mundane sometimes they can be, most of the time I read every one of them. And maybe they don't resonate with me, but I think that's so great that that's the world we live in because, wow, I get to see some really powerful words on a daily basis, and maybe some of them are significant, maybe they're not, but maybe someone else reads them, and that's life-changing,
yes.
You know? So I love that world we live in, and that we can share that information, because words are so powerful.
Yes, they are. They absolutely are.
They, in the ones we speak to.
It literally frustrates me if I have am I working with a client. The word can't is not allowed in my sessions. If you attempt something and it doesn't, you don't accomplish it or it doesn't go your way, okay, that's fine. It absolutely would not have at all, though, if you started by saying, I can't.
Right.
You're giving yourself a better chance, though, a better starting point without those words, I can't. If you go ahead and say that, then is it Henry Ford, I think, who said, whether you say you can or you can't, you're right.
You're right.
You're absolutely right. So I guess we're done here because you already told me you can't
do it.
Guess session's over because you won't do it now. It's not going to happen. So just another example of how words are absolutely powerful, and why they are very important to me. And I really do strive to choose my words carefully when speaking to my clients, but speaking to anyone.
Mm-hmm. Do you have a word that you say to yourself if you're stuck? If you're just in a spot where you're like, I need something.
Oh, no, it's like picking a favorite kid.
Stuck in, like, my...
Well, it could be, like, mentally, or stuck in a... if you're in a part of your training where you're not progressing, where you really want to, or maybe in your creative world, if you feel stuck.
I do. It's not one word. It's a short phrase that came about in this small girls... goals group that I used to be part of called Goals, Gals, and Grapes. So they love wine also, so that's why I was called that. But it was someone else's. We were doing, like, workshopping someone else's goals and declarations, but hers resonated so deeply with me that this helps me, especially in my training, when I get overwhelmed or frustrated or stuck. In this moment, I am good. And the words are so simple, but it has helped so much at track practice. It helps me breathe easier. Mm-hmm. In this moment, I am good. I remember one practice in particular. I had to say it 20 times in a row. Yeah. Just keep saying it, and then I finally calmed down. But that's all I could focus on was, in this moment, I am good. In this moment, as I'm trying to catch my breath from what I just done, the last set of something, and it settled me. So that's my
phrase. Man, that's a good one.
that's the title, guys.
Yeah.
We love having you here.
I love being here.
Have you liked being in Louisville?
Yes. The last time I was here was in high school. So yeah, this is my second time, and that was fond memories, but this is even better. I love
it. I love having you here.
Yes, thank you so much.
Well, I do have one just random question. Okay. I've been thinking, do you have a favorite flavor of jelly bean?
Well, I haven't had Jelly Belly in a long time, but I remember it being, I believe, the popcorn.
Oh my God, me flavor. Too.
But I haven't had it in a long, long, long time.
Wow, you're that one person.
And now there's two.
Oh, you like that one too?
Yes.
I don't mind it. I just don't love it.
No. It is my all-time favorite.
Oh.
Do you eat sugar?
Not in that form, but yeah. I'm not a candy person, but I am I do dessert type sugar.
What's your favorite dessert?
I am a cheesecake creme brulee person, like a creamy custardy type of person.
Wait, do you like flan?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Oh, I do like flan.
You are that one person.
That one I can't get down.
Oh, no. If it jiggles, I'm out.
I mean, I've even been to Mexico and had, like,
real
authentic flan, and it even authentically tastes bad.
Oh, interesting. Oh, I do like flan.
Cool. Yeah. It's consistency for me. Like,
but you eat Jell-O.
Well, I do, but Jell-O and flan are different.
Well, they are. They are. Like, one's like, yeah.
One, okay. But neither
one you're like jiggly now.
I can get down with some Jell-O. Flan, I'm like, it's pretty bad if I won't eat it. If I don't.
And it's weird because it has, I mean, I feel like it can be similar to like a tofu, which you like.
But it's. Yeah. I have tried it many times, and I want to like it. Like, I want to. I'm like, I should. And I feel all these connections to it. Like, all the ingredients say yes, and my body's like, no. But.
And key lime pie.
Oh.
That's a good, for me. Those family of things, yeah.
Oh, key lime pie is, when you get a good one, I like the ones that kind of hit you, like, right back here.
Yes.
You kind of lean into it a little bit, like,
that's how you know it's a money one.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Yeah.
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 Let's go get some key lime pie.
I know, right?
All right. Well, how can our listeners find you?
Oh. So, let's see.
There's lots of places.
So, Instagram is I am Talita. Facebook is Talitafied. Mm-hmm. So, TilitaFied. And if you want to check out my new program that's being launched at the end of the month, this is, if you really want to go deeper into all the work that I was just talking about with gold digging, but also your nutrition and training,
Talitafied.
Well, that's a separate one. Oh. But if you go to tiny.cc/gold medal champion tribe. And each of those capitalized.
Okay. And I'll link it. I link everything. Okay, cool. And then we'll make sure that we'll put everything on there.
Yes. Yeah.
Especially Facebook.
It's my, it's an all-encompassing program where we dive deep into your gold digging, but specifically how that relates to nutrition and training, if you do have health and performance goals. Because I've often had people say, why is she going so deep with this? I only want to lose 5 pounds. Or I'm just trying to run a 5K. Why is it so deep? But I truly, truly believe it's always deeper than your 5 pounds means something else than this just is 5 pounds or 20 pounds or 50 pounds, whatever it is. And it's often deeper than just you don't know the right foods to eat. That's why I always attach this gold digging piece, this values work, the strengths work to it. Because you do need to understand that. Another quick example. I had a client who wanted to lose, I think it was 35 to 40 pounds, because his doctor said he's borderline diabetic, you need to lose 40 pounds. Well, that might be true, that you're borderline diabetic and that is not a healthy place to be, but because your doctor told you to, you still haven't personalized it yet, so it still doesn't mean anything to you. So you're still creating excuses not to do the things that it takes to reach that goal. You, one would think that's a major, like that's major health problems. You would get on board and do the things. But no, he hadn't, because it still doesn't mean anything to him because someone else told him you need to do this. Even though it's a doctor and we, you know, an authority figure, it still wasn't personalized until we sat down, had this conversation about his life, his goals, and how much his family that was a huge value of his. And so we got to the point of your little girls seeing you. You want to see their graduation. You want to see them have children. You want to see that kind of thing. And it's not...
Personalize it.
Yes. And it wasn't... I wasn't trying to make him feel bad. I'm trying to make you cry and make you shock value. It wasn't for that. I just need you to attach something personal to it so that you do the things you need to do. If it does not mean anything to you, then no. You don't need to hire me. You don't need to do the work. That's okay too. If you understand that's not that important to me, great. At least you know that. That's what I want for everyone, to find that personal attachment to what they do so that your life means something.
I always call that the, and I say this a lot to Shannon off the air, but I call it naming the puppy syndrome, because once you say something or you realize something out loud, like it's just like taking a puppy home from the kennel. Like
it was just a puppy, but now it's a puppy.
But once you name it and once it has like a personality and it has like a persona basically, or then it's at home.
Yes.
But until that happens, it remains the puppy at the pound.
Yes.
Until it's
that's
home.
That's a great,
you know?
That's a great analogy.
I say that for many things. I'm like, oh, you named the puppy.
So you're committed now, right?
I'm like, yep. Oh, we've named the puppy.
There's Fluffy.
I like that a lot.
All right. Awesome. Well,
but yes, please go to that link.
Yes.
Check it out. And my email, please email me with any and all questions. TL@toledified.com.
Getting on your email list is just the place to be.
Or yes, do that.
Those are some of my favorites to open up. I'm like, oh, what is she saying to me?
It's so inspiring. It gets me going sometimes on that Tuesday.
All right. Oh, yeah, that's why that email is on Toledified Tuesday.
Perfect.
It's not on a Monday.
Well, you know, I don't know that I ever picked up that it came on Tuesdays, but now
now
it's going to be the first thing I pop open.
All right, we love you.
Thanks, Talita.
Love you guys.
Love you guys.